Helen Keller, someone who's very brave and inspiring to us in her deafness and blindness, once wrote a magazine article entitled 3 Days to See. In this article, she outlined what things she would like to see if she were granted just 3 days of sight. It was a powerful, thought-provoking article. On the first day, she said she wanted to see friends. Day two, she would spend seeing nature. The third day, she would spend in her home city of New York, watching the busy city and the workday of the present. She concluded it with these words, "I who am blind can give one hint to those who see. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you were stricken blind." As bad as blindness is in the 20th century, however, it is so much worse in Jesus' day. Today, a blind person at least has the hope of living a useful life with proper training. Some of the most skilled and creative people in our society are blind. But in first century Palestine, blindness meant that you would be subjected to abject poverty. You would be reduced to begging on the street for a living. You lived at the mercy and generosity of others. Unless your particular kind of blindness was self-correcting, there was no hope whatsoever for a cure. The skills that were necessary to cure blindness, even as little as we can cure blindness today, we're still many centuries off. Little wonder that one of the signs of the coming of the Messiah was that the blind should receive their sight. When Jesus announced his Messiahship, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to recover sight to the blind." The story this morning from Mark 10, verses 46 through 52, of the healing of Bartimaeus would suggest to us that there's three kinds of blindness in this world. The physical blindness of Bartimaeus, the blindness of ignorance, which his disciples had, and we've studied many times, and our blindness and the blindness of others. The blindness to the opportunity that lays before us. Let's look at the physical blindness of Bartimaeus. William Barclay once said that there were three things which cannot come back: the spent arrow, the spoken word, and the lost opportunity. Bartimaeus could not know what lay just ahead for Jesus in Jerusalem. He could not know that the Master would be crucified there and that this opportunity would never come again. He did know, however, that the opportunity was here and now, and he wasn't going to allow it to pass by. Follow along with me in Mark 10, starting in verse 46. "Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, the blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and said, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you.' Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." I find this account of the curing of this blindness for this particular person kind of interesting, because we've talked about the curing of the blindness and how Jesus rubbed some spit in the mud and put it on the guy's eye, and how he touched the guy's eye and that sort of thing. And we looked at that and saw that these people had to have some kind of physical touching of Christ so that they would know that it came from him. See, they needed that completeness. In other words, to see something take place. But this fellow, he didn't need that. He believed so totally and so much that just Jesus saying it was enough for him, that he trusted that miracle. You know the old saying in real estate, location, 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 how important that is? It's never so important, because if we don't know about something, we may step into something that we don't know how to get out of, or not see things that we should. A cigar-chomping realtor was driving around a young couple searching for their first dream house. After listening to their concerns about mortgage points, maintenance costs, and school systems, he decided to give them a bit of advice. "I've been selling homes for 23 years," he said, "and I've discovered only three things matter when you buy a home: location, location, location." To prove his point, he drove a couple to see a couple houses. The paint was peeling on the first house, and the driveway was heating up in spots. "It may be a handyman special," he said, "but look at the view." The house sat at the foot of a beautiful mountain, adjacent to 10 acres of untouched forest. Then the group went to see a charming two-story stone farmhouse with five bedrooms, a big kitchen, plenty of closets. "Everything immaculate," the wife explained after a brief tour inside. "In fact, we might buy it if it were located someone else." Then she pulled back a curtain to see an interstate highway and a busy airport runway. When I read of Bartimaeus regaining his sight, I celebrate the power of faith. John Milton wrote a poem of deep faith in 1652, "At the light of his eyes failed." In fact, his greatest works were done after he went blind. Blindness causes us to reflect upon things. Just as this young couple looked at this place and thought it was wonderful, just the greatest thing, only to be shown where it was located. If we walk with blinders on, if we walk not seeing, we're not going to see past the shiny exterior of something beautiful to what's really there. Not all paths are good to follow. Many people don't realize this until, like John Milton, when his eyes were failing him. He wrote this poem: "When I consider how my life is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent which is dealt to hide, lodge with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my Maker and present. My true account, lest he returning chide, doth God exact day labor light deny? I finally ask, but patience to prevent that murmur soon replies. God does not need either man's work or his gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke? They serve him best. His state is kindly, thousands at his bidding speed, and pushed o'er land and ocean without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait." John Milton on his blindness in 1652. He realized in his blindness what was important, that all he could do now is stand and wait for God to heal his blindness someday. Someday, in his hope to see eternity and to actually see again. No one is so blind as a person who will not see. People like Helen Keller and John Milton and others lost their sight but gained insight. Some people see all their lives and yet not see. And that brings us to the second point, the blindness of ignorance. The disciples, as we've looked at before, they saw a return to an earthly kingdom. We were going to get rid of those heathen Romans. We were going to have Jerusalem back. Christ was going to be like David, a king on a throne, to defeat these enemies and throw them out. But Christ did not come here to defeat that enemy. He came to defeat a greater enemy. They never gained faith from the miracles of Christ. How are we going to feed these people? How are we going to do this and how are we going to do that? Their fear in the storm when Christ told them the waves to be still. They never really realized They're like many people. They see things act in their lives. They see God's hand in their lives. And yet they never trust that His hand is going to be there for the next time they fall or things that happen to them. Each time they live with that fear and anticipation, they're blind. They scattered at the crucifixion. Jesus told them, I have to die. I have to be crucified for the sins of the world. And they just never got it. They were just blind to what He was telling them. Their blindness was caused by their prejudice. Not prejudice as we think of today, but they had a view of what the kingdom was going to be and what the Messiah was going to be, and they couldn't see past that, their own vision. We have to learn to cast off whatever we feel about religion and look at the truth of it. Don't be prejudiced in the things that we read in the Bible. But look at it with the newness to glean the things that we see out there, and our eyes will be open to what God has for us. We'll learn more. We have to be open to those things. We can't be like the disciples. Thirdly this morning, our blindness. The blindness of the opportunity that lies ahead of us. Helen Keller again said, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. It's kind of like selective blindness, kind of like hearing, you know. You talk to your husband, you know, say, you didn't take out the trash? Nothing. Take out the trash? Nothing. Supper's ready. All right, the recliner pops back up, right, and he heard that. And, you know, even, you know, with anybody, really, they can kind of have that selective blindness, kind of ignoring the things they don't want to hear and hearing those things which they want to hear. People believe in God and the Bible but don't want to read it lest they realize they must make a change in their life. Oh yeah, the Bible's out there, but if you read it, it's going to convict you. And if it convicts you, there are going to be things you need to do. So people cast, as we say, a blind eye towards it. People would rather believe a mere mortal's take on the Scripture. They'll go listen to someone who tells them, oh, it's okay, just do what you want to. God is not going to condemn anybody. Oh yeah, those words are written there, but He's not going to do it. You know, if God said it, then it's so. He would not have told us so if it were not so, as we read in Scripture. We need to learn to define problems. Thousands of years ago, a young Chinese emperor called upon his family's most trusted advisor, who was Confucius. He told him, oh, learned counselor, said the emperor, you have advised my father and my grandfather. What is the single most important advice you can give me to rule my country? And Confucius replied, the first thing you must do is define the problem. If you don't know what the problem is, then you just don't know what you need to do. We need to define what hinders us, if something hinders us from following God. We need to define that and find out if it's really important. Is it really important that I not follow God? Think about that. People don't put it in those words. But it's true. If we're not following God the way that God wrote in Scripture and told us to do, and His apostles, Christ and the apostles told us to do, then we're in His essence, we're saying, I'm not going to follow God. So what is causing us not to follow God? And that's only something that I can answer for myself and you can answer for yourself. But it's important that we answer these things, that we not be blind to what hinders us from following Christ if something does. You know, many unhappy people cannot put their finger on exactly what's causing their distress. Many unfulfilled people cannot even tell you what it would take to satisfy them. Many of us have no clear idea or conception what our real needs, real desires, and real priorities are, and because we have never defined the problem or clarified our goals, we spend our lifetime anxiously wandering with very little to show for the pilgrimage we make. And that's sad. You know, as Christians, we have a purpose, we have a goal, and that is to reach salvation with Christ and to live eternally with Christ and God. We have something to look forward to. We have something to be happy for. We need to open up our eyes and see that for what it is. Take hold of that and walk with it every day. And walk like a horse with blinders on towards that goal. Because the blinders hides the distractions that we don't need to fool with. You know, some people are never satisfied. In a movie, our character is walking through the town and he gets hit up by a beggar. The beggar is saying, alms for an ex-leper. Alms for an ex-leper, please. And he said, what do you mean, ex-leper? And the leper says, well, I was cured. The guy said, well, who cured you? The leper said, that Jesus fellow. He says, now I have a hard time making a living. All I've ever known how to do is to beg. And he asked him, well, why don't you go back and ask him to make you a leper again? The leper says, well, I might not like that, you know. Maybe he could just make me a leper during working hours or something. So he just sighs, he drops a coin into the cup and walks away. The ex-leper looks in his cup and says, a half a denarii? Look at this. He only gives me half a denarii. And he says, some people are never satisfied. To which the leper replied, that's just what Jesus said. Now, I know Jesus didn't put it in those words, but it's so true that some are never satisfied with the things they have. Now, this fellow, when he was cured by Jesus' blindness, he could see again, and he followed Christ. And he could see to follow him. He knew where his sight came from. He knew where his salvation would come from. His eyes were opened up to what Christ did for him. You know, sometimes people have their eyes opened by Christ. They get baptized. They come to the Lord. They do what's necessary. But then trials of life come upon them and they get blindsided, so to speak. They're blind again to what's really important. And you never no longer ever see them in church. They don't study their Bible, obviously. They don't have faith. They don't pray. We can become blind again, even when our eyes are open. This morning, we need to be so careful that we open our eyes and that we see clearly what God and what Jesus wants us to do. That we do those things and that we keep walking in that light. That's another thing. On a pitch black night with no moon or anything like that, we're pretty much all blind. And we stumble about in the darkness. But you know what? This Bible is a light that shines the way for us to walk. You know, now a flashlight's not going to do you any good if you got it pointing backwards and you're trying to walk forward. It has to shine the way in front of you if you're going to keep from stumbling. So, this morning, we need to first of all renew that sight we had when we met Christ and accepted Him. We need to avoid looking at the Bible with a prejudiced eye as to what it means and take it as it honestly and what it honestly means in our lives so that we're following what we need to be. And thirdly, we need to avoid being blind to the opportunities that are in front of us and that we keep on walking forward. In conclusion this morning, history records a time when two people met each other on July 25th, 1807, at a spot in the Tilsit River in Prussia. It was a dramatic meeting to discuss matters which carried serious consequences. In the middle of the stream, Napoleon and Alexander held a much publicized private conference. It was widely described in advance as a meeting that would arrange the destinies of mankind. Cannons boomed and the shouts of thousands of soldiers gathered on either side of the river added to the noise as the conference began. There, the Treaty of Tilsit was drawn, which allied Russia and Prussia with Napoleon. World history and millions of lives were forever changed by that meeting. Bartimaeus had the opportunity to meet Christ one-on-one and took advantage of it. As a result, he was greatly blessed. You and I have the same privilege of meeting with Christ one-on-one. Christ is calling you. Will you come? Such an encounter to each one of us is by far the most important in our lives, for it will arrange the destiny of your life here and your life in eternity. What's more important than that? What can blind us from that eventuality of eternity? Anything? If there is, we need to remove that blindness and walk with Christ. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?